some in this room who know not what it is to carry the yoke of Jesus Christ. And I remind you of your words, Jesus, when you say, come to me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. And God, I pray today for those that your kingdom would come in. They would surrender their will and their way and their heart to you. And they would come, leave this place knowing what it is to have a purpose in their life. To know what it is to know Jesus, to know his calling. God, today I pray your kingdom would come in this house. God, that you would open the doors of heaven and bring people to know you as their Lord today. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to invite you.
So you can turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 to get started. By the way, I just want to put another plug in you for Wednesday night. What we're going to do on Wednesday night is our normal prayer meeting, we're actually going to move that over to the Assembly Church. And what I mean by that is everybody that comes, and then please, I want to invite you to come and join us. We're going to go to the Will Graham event, but I want you to do exactly as the Lord has mentioned. I want you to look for people to invite. But here's the deal. If you've looked and you've invited and you've prayed and you find yourself there and you don't have a friend with you, I want you to be there and I want you to find a perimeter place and I want you to pray. I just want you to pray. And I don't care if it's outside the building or on the outer edges, their outer rows. We want people there. We want to be able to reach people, and we want to reach people with the gospel. And so it's so important. By the way, they didn't ask us to do this. Please understand that. This has really been on my heart. We need to pray for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what a privilege to go and do that. So I want to encourage you, if there's ever been a Wednesday night when we need to show up and pray, and they're every single week, it's critical. It's life or death. Be there Wednesday night and come and just pray. And I want you to invite your friends. But just as importantly is be there and pray, amen? So another thing I want to mention to you as far as children's ministry, if you're an individual that's done children's ministry or you have a heart to do children's ministry and you're not a pair yet, because you mentioned that, you know, they're looking for pairs, show up. We'll pair you up. Right, Stephanie? Yes, yes. So I want to clarify that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, last week I talked about the Lord took us to the place of challenging us to act like men. We started out, we looked in Ezekiel at this crazy sign of when there's true revival is when men flock to Jerusalem like sheep. In other words, when men just turn to give their lives, and not just ones or twos, not just like an occasional, but men flock. When will we know there's a great revival going on? When men, flocks of men, run to lay down their lives. And this week, the Lord's just been laying on my heart in a big way. Now is the day. We really don't have time to wait for this miracle. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Father God, I pray, oh God, you know my heart. There is no word from me that can do anything here today. And you know my heart, God. Oh, God, Jesus, bring your word. Bring your word. And God, I know that people have prayed this week more so than I can remember in a very long time. And I believe that when the church comes together as one, the gates of hell cannot prevail. And I believe today, God, the gates of hell are open. And people that have been shut up and held back and hurt by the enemy are today set free to make a choice this day that will transform their life. God, I believe you set them free. And so, God, I pray your word would go beyond those gates that have been holding people back. It would penetrate hearts today, God, and you would draw people from the bondage and from the lies into the kingdom of God. God, I pray you would do that today and bring glory to the name of Jesus in this house. And we thank you, Father. We thank you beforehand that you'll do this work. And Jesus, oh God, we glorify you and we confess you as Lord and we thank you for doing this. In your name we pray. Amen. I have a start out by telling you that I shared something with you the other night on a Wednesday. You were very politely just blinking your eyes because you guys, yeah, you're just polite to me. I shared with you that who's he speaking to here? And I said, you know, I've been taught this way, but I think it's over this way. And you know what? I was wrong. I was just wrong. I went back and read it again. Oh, Theodore, you had that wrong. And you guys were very patient with me. So who's he speaking to in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2? The church or to the lost? The church in verse 1, but oh baby, he is talking to the lost too. He's talking to the church and he says, bring this message. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 4, 5, all the way up, he's just telling us about our ministry. He's just telling us what we're called to do to reach people for Christ. And then in chapter 6, you know, at the end of 5, he's saying, you know, hey, we're pleading. God is pleading through us. Christ is pleading through us. We then, as workers together with Christ, the Christ that's in us, plead with you not to receive. It's right there. He switches. Now he's talking to the world. Oh, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Do not think that tomorrow I've got another opportunity. Maybe tomorrow I'll turn to Jesus. Do not take the grace of God in vain. If he has stirred your heart today, do not trample underfoot the grace of God. It means do not take it in emptiness. Do not take what God is pouring out as an opportunity in your life and just count it as nothing. No. In an acceptable time, I've heard you. And in the day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the reason that God needs to bring this message resonating in our heart today is because one of the sins since the fall is that men do not decisively act like men. We don't wake up. One of the things of the fall is that we have fallen asleep. And we need to wake up. It's time. It's time for the church to preach the gospel. And it's time for the church to preach the gospel that it's time. It's time. It's high time, the scripture said. The scripture says the night is far spent. It's time to awake out of sleep. It's time to move. It's time to go. It's the time for an army to rise up. It's time. And the enemy wants to distract us with pain and pleasure, but he also wants to distort us with a false grace. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. There's a false grace that somehow God owes you time and time and time again. He doesn't owe us this time. Amen? He doesn't owe you a breath to make your choice. There needs to be a fear of God in you that you somehow think that God owes you this time. In the midst of the smoke of the battle and the pain, in the midst of being struck down, in the midst of saints that are just barely struggling, and I just have this image of staggering. In the midst of all that, it's still time. It's not time to back up. It's not time to give up. It's not time to let up. It's now is your time. It's the time to I wrote stand, and then I crossed it out, because it's not that simple. It's time to take a step. It's time to take a step, and then it's time to take a what? Another step. It's time to walk faithfully with God. It's time to enter into what God has for us. Now is the day of salvation, and it's time. It's just time. This message is for every one of us, all of us. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe it's time for you to begin that journey with full surrender and surrendering everything to Christ. And today is the day of your salvation. But maybe you're a hundredfold child. Maybe you're that person that's been bearing much fruit for the glory of God. And you've got to the 99 and you got tired. Guess what? It's time. It's time. Maybe the way has been long. And you just feel like it's over for you. It's not. And I want you to have, I want a little warning for you, because we as church members are really good at this. Preach it, brother. It's about time he does this. No. No, no. It's not his time. It's not her time. It's your time. It's your time. Now is your day. Remember what Esther was told? For if you remain silent and at this time, if you remain silent at this time, relief will come from another source. But you, oh, you and your father's house will perish. Oh, that's intense. This is your time. And if you don't enter into it with a sense of urgency that this is my brief window right here, this is my time, you and your father's house will perish. And then he says this, who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I just echoed in my heart this week. Oh, man. Last week we looked at that phrase, the men of Issachar understood the times. And I thought about this week again. The Lord's reminding me, showing me so many different things. Oh, for such a time as this. I've never known a time. We were talking about it this morning when there's been just more open demonstration of Satan and so much struggle. And, you know, there's such a time as this. I phrases from the Word of God echo in my heart. Phrases like truth lies fallen in the streets. It's a time when the enemy is roaring like a lion, when I see so many people devoured and through so many windows of different avenues, he's entered into soul after soul and heart after heart, so many people held captive. It's such a time as this. I've been doing this a long time, but I have never seen a time when there's this opium that's poisoning the minds of our children. They spend so much time on their cell phones, so many hours with multisensory input. We're losing the minds of our children like never before to addictions that are stronger than drugs. We have so many things. Millions of babies right now have been killed just because of convenience. We live in a time when that's all embraced as morally correct. When you look at the times in which we live, at our time, part of us wants to back up and say, oh my God, it's too much. But you were brought for such a time as this. We are the chosen of God for this time and this day. We are the chosen of God for glory. And the story that he has us in, yep, it's epic. Yep, we're outnumbered. Yep, yep, yep. But guess what? All the promises of Jesus Christ in me are yes and amen. Amen? We are chosen for this time. We've got weapons. Mighty unto God, and no matter what's going on in my world, greater is he that is in me than all the he's in that world. It's time. Understand the context spiritually, this fallen world when oh so few. Every guy, every woman, every warrior I know gets tired because so many, as the Apostle Paul said, are going to have itching ears and they're going to heap for themselves teachers who will just preach them a false gospel. We live in those perilous times. I wrote this as a personal testimony this morning early. This is my time. By the grace of the living God, I will not flinch. In the face of giants, I will not run. And when it costs me, when nails rip me in the deepest places of my heart, I will not give in to the temptation to cover my heart and refuse to be hurt. I will not succumb to the temptation to preserve my life. I will continue, Lord Jesus, by your grace, to die for you, to be broken and spilled out. And the only regret, and God, you know my heart, my only regret is I'm already 60 and I hardly have any time left. And it's been so brief. This sacrifice has been so brief. And compared to eternity and the glory that's right before me, I have given so little to you. But God, I do have now. I do have now. I do have this time and this day and this place. And with that, I beg you to not take the grace of God in vain. Redeem the time. Wake up. You have this moment. Deuteronomy chapter 30. They were about to enter into a whole new challenge of walking with God. And he sets before them life and death. And that is what is at stake. That's what at stake in this time. And it's your life and it's your death. And even as he warned Esther that if you do not speak, it'll be death for you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 10. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment which I commanded you today is not too mysterious for you. You say, I don't know what God wants me to do. No, don't do that. No, he's made it clear. If you don't know what it is, by the way, this is quoted in Romans 10, 9, and 10. You know what he said, it's not, this word of faith is near you. It's not a mystery. He goes on to say what? You must believe that Christ rose from the dead, and you must confess him as Lord. You know what the will of God is for you? You know what you need to do to walk powerfully this journey, to redeem the time, to be the man you need to be the lady you need to be? You need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and you need to surrender your life to him. Amen? And then you need to do what the Lord, the King, now tells you to do. What is the narrow path? You need to lay down your life in the body of Christ in a local, real, visible place, giving up your local, visible life. And then you must keep it. His commandments for us are laid out. And so he says, this commandment which I commanded you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is near you. Oh no, you know what you need to do. In your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so you do not hear, are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, if you men get caught in idolatry, oh my goodness, if you get drawn away, seduced by that, you cannot hear. Because your heart is turned away, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in a land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. And I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life. And the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers and to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give to them. Choose. As it says in Joshua 24, we don't need to go there, but he says, choose what? This what? This day. This day. There is a confession that begins this journey where we confess with our lips, and then every day after that we confess with our feet. Do you guys understand that? Jesus said, narrow is the way. First one's gate, right? But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. And the word difficult is also a word for narrow. So we have this gate that we go through, this crushing gate of fully surrendering to Christ as Lord, and we confess him as Lord. And then he says, narrow is the way. It's you confess him with your lips, and then every day you confess him with your, say it, with your feet. You follow him, and you keep following him. Every day that we keep following step by step is a choice to what? To live. And every day we say nope is a choice to what? Death. It's a choice to death. I don't know. A long time ago, the Lord gave me this. It's from a verse, actually. But rather than do the whole Bible study on it, I just want to introduce you to the idea of a watershed. A watershed is another word for it is water parting. It's a water parting. And a water parting is really simple. I mean, you get up in the high mountains, it's really easy to see. But when a raindrop comes descending down from the heavens and it lands on the top of a ridge, and you can imagine that ridge being very narrow, and the narrower you can imagine it, the better. But that water drop lands on that spineback ridge. It literally has to make up its mind which way it goes, right, depending on where it lands. That's what a water parting is. So what happens is if you make a choice, one step to say no, that water starts down that slope. You get it? And it's just a drop, right? It's just a day. It doesn't matter, right? It's just a drop in the what? It's not a drop in the bucket. It doesn't really matter. That's our phrase. But that's not how God looks at it. Because now you've just started down a what? A way. You started down a path. And you know what momentum is? For those of you scientists, it's velocity times, or mass times velocity, right? What's that mean? When it starts going, it starts flowing, and it starts to take on momentum, and it starts to take on energy. And every day, as you're practicing lawlessness, saying no to Jesus, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get further down that. And you say, well, I didn't choose death at the top. Yes, you did. That's why he wants to wake us up. Wake up. Every day you say, no, I don't need to turn to him today. No, I don't need to follow him today. I'll do it tomorrow. Listen, dude, you are over the side. And it's gaining momentum. I wish that weren't true. You need to know that. I wish people could spend their whole lives saying no to Jesus and then just be fine. I beg you, because it's life and death. Choose you this day, because it's a steep slope when we try to repent. And God will still give us grace, but I'm telling you, there's a momentum to it. It's a watershed. I used to say something to the junior high kids I coach, you can never rise higher than your... Anybody remember that? Thank you. You can never rise higher than your sources. And I draw this little picture of a lake on a dry erase board. And, you know, I'm not supposed to preach to them. I'm in public school, right? And I draw these streams flowing into them, and I draw the streams of their parents and drawing from that, because that's going to be a stream for you. And I'm the teachers and authority and coaches, and I put this big stream right down the middle, and I said, that's the one I can't name. But you never rise higher than your what? Sources. And so here's what we do. We go, Lord, here am I as a living sacrifice. Pour your word, pour your life, pour your presence into me. And as you do that, he strengthens you to take another step. But if we refuse that, listen, Satan will pour into your life as well. And you'll start down this path, and you'll start down this thing, and it'll start to take on momentum. And I'm telling you, he's really, really, really good at moving us with this momentum, mass times velocity, and then he begins to stir our hearts. Our momentum in the wrong direction begins to pick up steam. And that's why it's not an exaggeration to say it's life or death. Let me just give you an example of just one command of Jesus Christ. Love the brethren. It's a daily path, right? If you're saying yes, Lord, until somebody offends you and then you don't walk that path anymore, you don't hupomeno, you don't stay under Christ, you don't keep doing that. You make a life choice to say no. You say, no, I'm not loving that person anymore, I'm not going there. What happens? You're on another path. You're on a path that leads to death. I set before you life and death. The daily cross of loving one another is not a choice. It's not something you can play with. You have to choose to lay down your life. But if you choose not to, you choose a path. By the way, this is what happens every time when someone chooses to quit loving the brethren. This happens every time. You know what happens when you've been bothering me? Which has never happens, right? But just theoretically, when you've been bothering me, and I put that off, how do I feel? The word is ecstasy. I'm not kidding. Because that breastplate that the priest wore, it was held by shoulder straps. I'm telling you, it just feels so heavy. And I love the backpack. I haven't done it in the last year or two because of, I don't know, there's something about a calendar in my life. I don't know what it is. But I could tell you that when you get to the top and you take that pack off, there's a, you feel weightless. Weightless. And Satan's right there to affirm you that you've made the right choice because now you feel so stinking good. I'm so right. Scott, what's the old saying? It feels so good it had to be right. But momentum starts and mass times, and how do we pick up steam? We move from being, there's an ecstasy, we move to 1 John, we move to a place very quickly where we begin to hate the very people that we used to love. We begin to speak evil about them because now the enemy has us far enough away that he can start throwing those stinking darts in our heart. How much steam are you going to pick up? Enough to be hurting the very people that love you. I set before you life and death. The very tongue that was speaking life will speak death. Watershed moments are critical. Let me just set before you a whole bunch of pictures of life and death because it's all at the same water parting. I set before you life, what it is to really worship in truth and power, and what it is to be worshiping idols. I set before you today, and I want you to make a choice. Will you choose the fear of God, or will you choose death and the fear of all these other things in life, all the other little gods, all the fear of men? I set before you life and death. Will you choose a life in power and victory, or will you choose a life of weakness and you're going to just be a victim the rest of your life? Will you choose a life of truth or a life of deception? A life of being a bond slave happily to Jesus Christ, or will you choose to be in bondage to sin? Will you choose the applause of heaven or the applause of demons? Will you choose a life filled with the Holy Spirit of God, or a life in which you're going to be ruled by other spirits? And oh, people, are you going to choose a life in which you'll walk in a sound mind, or are you going to choose a life in which your mind will be Satan's playground? Are you going to choose a life of being an agent of change in this world, or are you going to choose a life with no plot and no purpose and no impact? Are you going to choose a life of personal holiness where your temple is cleansed and indwelt by a holy king, and he's brought his blood and he continues to cleanse you and you have that beauty and holiness? Or are you going to choose a life in which sin just continues to build its filth in you? Are you going to choose a life in which you're going to build a legacy that no matter what storms happen, your house will stand? Or are you going to choose a life in which when the storms come, your house is going to come crashing down and all who are in it will know how great the fall is? I set before you life and death. Are you going to choose a life of glory that'll have shockwaves of eternal glory forever and forever? Or are you going to choose a life of vanity? Life or death? I set before you life and death. Choose you this day where your next step is going. That's all you can do. And he will give you the grace to take the next and the next. And I know that sometimes we can get discouraged because we look and we're like, oh God, I've been down this path. There's a momentum in my heart. And because of sin, I don't know that I can escape this. Listen, I believe that God's grace, if you do not take the grace of God in vain, his grace is enough to lift anybody out of the hands of the enemy and back walking with God. I love the prodigal son story. Go to Philippians chapter 2. I share that stuff about momentum and the steepness of that ridge because that should scare us. It needs to. It's not okay to go day after day and then say, oh, well, I can just pop back. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant, and he came in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those on earth and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, as you've walked one step at a time, choice after choice, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. That means walk out. Literally, it means walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Understand. See it. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. It is our time. We need to hold fast the word of life so that I may, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that you may rejoice, that we might rejoice together, that we have not run in vain or labored in vain. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I want to show you a watershed moment. There's so many in the Bible. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Verse 18, and it happened as he was alone praying, the disciples joined him, and he asked them this question. I want you to hear this from the Lord. Hear this question. Who do the crowd say that I am? And so they answered and said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. And then he asked this question. Let it resonate in your heart today. Hear it from the Lord. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? With the public confession with your lips or with the daily confession with your feet, who do you say that he is? The scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's not going to be any creature. There's no celestial, no terrestrial, no principality. There's no power that we don't know about, no being that we haven't yet experienced. There will be no thing, no one in heaven. There will be no one on earth, and there's not going to be anybody under the earth. There's not going to be a single person in hell that's not going to what? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's not a single one who will not kneel in submission to his holy power. Some are going to confess him as Lord in a celebration of, oh, I'm home and here's my Lord. And they're going to fall on their face before him and they're going to kneel before him. And he's my Lord, he's my Lord, he's my Lord, and I'm here. And some are going to scream in agony from the pit of hell, Jesus Christ is Lord. But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The will of God is not something you don't know about. It's not hidden in the stars that someone might reach down, some mystical person might bring it to you. The will of God is here today. The word of faith is right in front of you. The decision of whether to choose life or death is right in front of you. Will you choose life? If you think of today as a watershed moment, what is your confession today? Do not take the grace of God in vain. Who are we to tell God, Maybe tomorrow. Every day that you don't confess him as Lord when you know you need to is open rebellion against Jesus Christ. And I know there's a sitting down and counting the cost. I have a profound respect for that. But once you've counted the cost, what else is it when you say, no, Lord? I love you enough to be blatantly honest with you. You're choosing death. Do not say to him, but you're going to give more grace to me so that I can still play, I can still have my idols, I can still do my thing, and you're going to be right there begging me to come back when I come back to you, right, Lord? That's not grace, that's abuse. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If he's not, don't come back next week. No, I mean it. If he's not, just go fishing. Or this time of the year, go hunting. But when you choose death, please understand what you're doing. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you're not a God who hides your will. You're not a God who hides your desire for these in this room. You love us so much. You took us in our sin, and you took all of our sin. You poured it into your beloved Son, all of our rebellion, all of our willful ways, all of our doubts, all of our unbelief. All that sin, all that, you poured it into your beloved Son. And God, all of your righteous judgment against my sin was poured into Jesus. And oh God, I thank you for Christ crucified. And Jesus, I thank you that you chose life for me. When you could have been the only one to actually choose death for me, and it would have been, I would have deserved it. You chose to die so that I might have life. And now you ask us in turn to give our lives for you. You cut a trail, and God, we have nothing to complain about compared to what you have done for us. And oh God, we thank you for that. Father, today I believe the gates of hell are open. And I believe people are free because of the power of the prayers of the saints in this place, the fasting, the 24-hour prayer, all those things that people have done before your holy throne. God, I believe that the church has come together and the gates are open. People have freedom today to choose. It lies strictly within the heart of every individual to choose life. So, Father God, I pray today. I don't have to pray, oh, Satan, get back. No, that's already been done. Anything that's holding you today is your will. I love you enough to just tell your will to go to hell because you're not going to go with him. Tell your flesh, no. I mean that with all my heart. I beg you before God to present yourself as a living sacrifice and say, here I am. We're going to sing this song, I Have Chosen, and I have made a choice, but if it's not your choice, don't sing it. If it's not your choice, run to Jesus. If it's not your choice, do not take the grace of God in vain. He doesn't owe you another breath. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Do this work today, God. Bring glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to choose life.